Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, by now you are no doubt used to the regular updates from the Gulf on the latest developments with the BP oil spill. Just to recap, here's what we are following now. The reported methane gas leak found several miles from the recently capped well is said to be a natural occurrence, not related to whether or not the cap put into place last Friday was successful. Tests continue on that cap to determine whether it is indeed stopping the flow of oil. A relief well is still being drilled, which both BP and the government think will offer a permanent fix. But of course, stopping the spill itself is just the first step in the journey back for the Gulf region. Let's check in now with three reporters in three states to get a sense of this moment in time, on the ground and on the beaches of the Gulf. Let's move from east to west across the Gulf states, right to left across your radio dial. In a minute, we'll hear from Alabama and Louisiana. But for now, joining us from WUWF, the NPR affiliate in Pensacola, Florida, is Sandra Averhart. Hi, Sandra. Welcome to WNYC. Hello from New York.
Hello. Good morning to you.
Sandra, if you were to walk out of your studio and head toward the nearest beach, what would you see?
Well, I guess the first thing I would see is not very many people. That would be the first thing that you would notice. Certainly not as many as you would expect this time of year, either locals or people coming in for vacation. Moving closer to the water, you will see workers. You will see them in their white protective gear. You will see them in their colored vest to indicate that they are workers. And you'll see them walking along the beach picking up tarballs and whatever else. And fortunately, though, there hasn't been near the volume as we had, say, a month ago.
I want to play you a clip of Mike Soule, Secretary of the Florida Department of Environmental Protection. He actually says he's somewhat encouraged today. Take a listen.
It's roughly 85 miles off of Florida shoreline, and fortunately, because of the winds, is expected to move to the west, thereby decreasing the risk to any shoreline impacts in Florida.
So he's talking about the oil from the spill, obviously. And Florida is on the easternmost edge of the Gulf. The Deepwater Horizon spill is about 200 miles away from Pensacola. Do residents of your communities feel the same way as he does, that this spill is something that's happening fairly far away and that you will escape relatively unscathed?
I don't think we have that feeling here. I mean, just in the few months since the spill, we've had sort of that windshield wiper effect along the way. Initially, we had the meteorologists on our nightly news, their TV stations, giving us the trajectory map for the oil. And for many weeks, it didn't come here. Then tarballs started to arrive. And then we had larger sheets of tar patties. And then we had a period, as I mentioned, about a month ago, about mid-June, where there was even more of it washing ashore. And that was really the largest concentration that we've had. Off and on, we've still had these tarballs coming in. And, you know, I just don't think that we think it's over. I think we believe we've gotten a little bit of a reprieve, and that's good, but we feel like more is to come.
And I know I've seen some horrendous videos online of Pensacola beaches. I don't know if those were just very short stretches completely covered in black that people wanted to put up there to make it look as bad as possible, but those YouTube videos have been pretty well viewed. Does that not represent the scene in much of Pensacola along the shore?
Say no, maybe a month ago, mid-June, when we really took the worst of it, I would say there were stretches of beach that looked like that. But I would say not the whole beach. If you just think about it, just a little bit further to the east is Navarre Beach. That's in Santa Rosa County. And while Escambia, which is Pensacola, has had fishing and swimming advisories up, they've now gone to, from the state level, this idea of an oil impact notice to kind of give folk who go to the beach the idea that maybe they ought to think about whether or not they want to go in. They're not saying it's unsafe, But they're saying you should be cautious because there are things that can occur with your breathing and elsewise. But just to the east of Navarre Beach, there have been no fishing or swimming advisories, and at least not in state waters. And things not as bad there, just that little bit to the east.
Well, that's good. And I saw a creepy video from, I guess, just to your west, Destin Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Is that where that is?
Destin is to the east, further east.
A creepy video of little bits of tar all along the beach, and they were kind of small, so a long shot didn't reveal a big black beach like the video of Pensacola that I saw in mid-June. But there were families playing on this beach, and there was one little kid who got some tar stuck on her feet, and she was crying to her mother, "I can't get it off. I hate this oil on my foot." And the mother literally couldn't get it off and was trying to get the kid to ignore it. You know, but I don't know how representative that was, but it certainly was a pretty grotesque scene.
Well, you know, I wouldn't say that the beach is black. What tends to happen is that the tar balls, sometimes you can't see them. They get buried in the sand, and that's another issue that is going to have to be addressed, is going down because just the natural washing in of the tide and equipment that had been used. You would go down, you could dig down in, and you would find layers of the tar underneath. Now, that's an issue that's going to have to be addressed, but the tar balls often get covered in sand. And so you don't really see a tar ball, a brown tar ball, necessarily. You may. It may be covered in sand, and you may not see it.
And then there it is between your toes.
And then there it is, stuck on your heel, which I did experience myself. But I have to say that, there have been hundreds of workers at any one given time who have been hired by BP contractors who are out there. There have been complaints about how effective they have been working because there are restrictions. It's so hot at times, and, they have to take certain breaks. But I would have to say that things are moving along. They are constantly adjusting, like, for instance, when the crews work. They put some to work overnight instead of having everyone out during the day. They're using different rakes and various other equipments. They're going from hand shovels to these sifters, and that's more effective and also saves on the amount of sand that's been carted off, because in the past you just scoop up the oil, but you scoop up sand with it, dumping it in the bag, and it goes off to the landfill.
My guest on WNYC is Sandra Averhart from WUWF, the NPR affiliate in Pensacola, Florida. And before we bring in some of your colleagues to the West, I read a report this morning describing how many Floridians are resentful, not of BP, but of their fellow Gulf states. Florida has long resisted offshore drilling. I know Governor Crist, in his Senate campaign, is making a big deal as an independent of promoting the idea of a permanent ban on offshore drilling. But, of course, Alabama and Louisiana have it. Now this leak is affecting Florida beaches as well because of drilling not in your state. Do you see that resentment?
I do see that to some degree, and this is an issue, this idea of banning oil drilling off Florida's coast, as an issue for discussion this week, obviously, as our Florida legislature opens a special session. The governor wants to put a constitutional amendment on the a proposed constitutional amendment to ban drilling near Florida's shores on the November ballot. So that's an issue to come. The idea is, the reality is our beaches make up a good portion of our economy with tourism and fishing and recreational activities. And so Florida, for the most part, has been resistant. I mean, we have more than 800 miles of coastline here.
Sandra, stick with us, and let's bring in Ryan Dezember, a reporter for the Alabama Press Register, covering Alabama's beaches, including the resort series of Orange Beach and Gulf Shores. Ryan, hello from New York. Welcome to WNYC.
Good morning.
And you live right on the beach, right?
Near it. A few miles up the road anyway.
Describe to us the community you live in and what you would see if you walked down to the beach right now.
Well, like Pensacola, it's relatively empty. It should be, you should be backed up in traffic, just very crowded right now. And it's there's fewer people here than there are in the middle of the winter. Once you got to the beaches, there may or may not be any oil on the beach. Just like Florida, it's been light lately. What we're getting now a lot is oil that's under the water, little bits here and there, a lot of sheen, which is like a film on top of the water that when it kind of breaks up in the surf seems to release like a very oily smell, and we're getting a lot of that.
As an economic base, what's the balance between fishing and tourism in your communities, and which has been hurt the most over the last month or two?
Well, here, fishing is kind of part of the tourism. There's certainly some commercial fishing, but a lot of it is recreational. Charter captains, big game fishing deep in the Gulf, and that has been, they can't even go out. The water's, essentially been closed since, sometime early June. Most of those captains are working for BP these days. They may or may not be, making what they made before, but they are generally enrolled in the Vessels of Opportunity program, spotting oil, skimming, tending, the boom that they've installed in the back bays, things like that. The tourism, by most accounts, is somewhere between 40 and 50% of what it should be, and that may be optimistic.
What's the best estimate for how fully and how quickly they can bounce back, assuming that this well is now permanently capped?
Well, when the news of the cap came out, they rental companies started to report that they were getting a lot of calls for August reservations, though that was up from almost no reservations. Most people think it'll be sometime next year before things start to get normal, if the well is capped and there can be a lot of progress made in the cleanup over the winter.
What about the last question that I asked Sandra? Are the residents of the Alabama communities that you cover rethinking the offshore oil industry altogether?
I don't think so. I mean, I haven't gotten that sense at all. Like Florida, part of the Alabama coast, there's no drilling, allowed off it. At least once, rigs have to be beyond the horizon. So however many miles out that is, say 10 miles out. Once you get to Mobile Bay, though, they can be very near shore, but a lot of them are natural gas rigs. That conversation hasn't really come up yet. People are, so concerned about their, economic, livelihood and the ecology that I don't think they've even gotten that far.
Ryan, stay there. Ryan DeZember in Alabama with Sandra Averhart in Florida. And let's continue to move east along the Gulf now on to Louisiana. And by the way, listeners, if you want to orient yourself to where these beaches are and where our various guests are located, you can see a New York Times map of where oil has made landfall. Link on our website at WNYC.org. Just go to our show page, click on Brian Lehrer Show. But let's continue to move east along the Gulf, west along the Gulf, on to Louisiana. Alex Woodward is environmental reporter for the New Orleans Gambit, the alternative weekly in that city. Alex, hello from New York.
Hi, good morning.
And hearing these other reports, do they ring true, or do Louisiana's problems actually feel much more severe?
I think in some cases it's more severe. Certainly our tourism industries, especially along the coast and in our coastal communities, have taken a huge hit. The Grand Isle, for instance, this time of year would usually be a pretty busy tourist attraction, but now some have sort of described it as a hostile takeover of Coast Guard and BP officials, as well as National Guard members, performing a lot of cleanup operations. So there really isn't too much tourism happening along the coast at this point.
What's the biggest news around the spill right now? The capping of the well, the lift of the fishing moratorium, or some other development?
I think the cap is certainly good news for us. We have been pretty inundated with oil. The other good news is that, yes, there is fishing. A lot of it is catch and release, which for Louisiana isn't very helpful, as we do need a thriving seafood economy to stay afloat. A lot of the news for us is the lack of media accessibility and the inability to report on essentially what's in our backyard. That's been a problem for a lot of journalists and has been a recurring theme in a lot of newscasts around town.
Why have you been blocked access?
I think a lot of it has to do with the contracts that originally are drawn up between BP and their employees performing cleanup or working as vessels of opportunity captains. They're initially told that their jobs are essentially on the line should they talk to the media about any of the problems that they face. Then the Coast Guard, as well as BP and the Department of Interior, have made it clear that, no, that's not the case, and there is no media blackout, if you want to call it that. But then you find that it is often the case once you get down to the beaches. And now that there is a 65-feet ruling in place around booming operations, and I think it also applies to cleanup, it's prevented a lot of journalists as well as other members of the media from getting close and seeing what's happening firsthand.
So let me ask each of you, and you can talk to each other and compare notes on this if you feel like it. Assuming that the leak does not recur, what do you expect conditions to be, let's say, a year from now? And is this going to be a years-long hit on your local economies, or might this be something that we remember as the nightmare of 2010, and after a year or so, things are back to normal where you each live? Sandra Averhart in Pensacola?
Well, I'm thinking about that. I would say that this is such an unknown situation that we really don't know. I think there's a lot of hope and optimism that it'll just take months for this to play itself out, and then, you know, before long things will be more normal, and you know, people who might want to come here will start feeling more comfortable about that, because for us it is primarily a tourism related problem. The gentleman from Alabama suggested, our fishing is mostly related to charter fishing and recreation, and I think there's just no sense that it may or may not be over. I think we expect that we'll have some sort of impact from this spill for a very long time. Could be just in the form of tar balls washing ashore and minimal impacts otherwise, but we have no idea, and I think it's just mostly hope that it'll be over soon and that next year things will be more normal.
Ryan December, covering the Alabama shoreline.
Well, you know, I think the ecological impacts are certainly unknown, especially if we've got water that's settling on the seafloor and, you know, hydrocarbons that are really becoming ingrained in the ecosystem. But in the food chain, economically, it depends entirely on whether BP and the government, how they do this claims, how they run the claims process. You know, everyone from fishing captains and condo owners to, you know, the city governments are really at the mercy of BP, and if they can be fairly repaid for their losses, then they can rebound quickly into, you know, sometime next year probably. But if they don't, it would be it would take a much longer to rebound.
And Alex Woodward, environmental reporter for the New Orleans Gambit.
Yeah, I think environmentally speaking, it's going to take just a bit of time to really evaluate the consequences. Early reports from scientists have indicated it's going to take some years to really get the oil out of the food web that's already starting to impact a lot of our marine life, as well as our seafood, from getting out of the food web and get that oil out of there. Economically, I think it's the matter of time as to how long the cleanup operations will take, and how long BP is willing to commit to the workers along the Gulf and to our fishing industry.
Sandra, Ryan, Alex, good luck to all of you and your communities. Thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, The Washington Post finds 3,700 different organizations in our counterterrorism bureaucracy and concludes that more may be less in terms of national security. Stay with us.